All right. It being 3 p.m., I'm going to gavel in this meeting. It is it's Wednesday, January 4th, 2023, and I call to order the meeting of the House Education Policy Committee. Welcome. Welcome, members. You found the room for new people or for people that are not so new but have not done in-person meetings before. I think this is one of the nicest committee rooms that we have available to us right now, and I think that we'll find out as we go along that there's certain attributes of this room that other rooms do not have, and that we are fortunate and also deserving of this room, because we know that education is one of those areas that the public really wants to have access to, and this is a room that is particularly suited to public access. So very glad to be here today in this place at this time. Also very glad to meet our new committee, Education Policy. And that is the business of this meeting, is to say hello to each other, be able to be introduced to our committee and to the public right now as Education Policy Committee members. So that is our first order of business. And I'm going to start it off, and I'm hoping all of you will follow through and be able to do this too, which is I'm actually going to go over and pretend I'm a testifier, a presenter. And one of the reasons I'm doing this is I remember the first time I presented to Bill and sat at that chair, it was really intimidating, and my voice started quivering. And so there's two things. One is I hope all of you will be presenting bills in this room. And kind of get that out of the way. You'll know what it's like to sit on the chair and present a bill. Then the second thing is when we're hearing testimony, particularly people that are not professionals, they're just coming to be a part of this and want to participate, you can look at them and know that, you know, it's a little scary to sit here and to be presenting to a body of people like this. And I think as we, you know, there are students or teachers, parents that are coming in to talk to us, you know, we can be friendly and smiling and encouraging them, even when they're doing this challenging thing. So for that reason, I'm going to ask everybody to, as you introduce yourself to the group, to actually take the stand and say hello. And I will start. But, of course, to do that as chair, I need to turn it over to my vice chair. And so this is Representative Josiah Hill that will now assume the gavel as I introduce myself. And there's a couple points that I would like everybody to make when they introduce themselves. To say where you represent, the cities, the number you are, the school districts that you represent, or one or multiple ones, and then also maybe some kind of memory that you have of being a student in school, and maybe an impactful memory, good or bad, but something that sticks out for you. So I've had time to think about that. We discussed whether it has to be truthful or not. All right, you know, memories get colored, so whatever you want to say, we will accept as factual. All right, and with that, I'm going to turn the gavel over to Vice Chair Hill.
And we'll recognize Chair Pryor here in a moment when she gets set up. We have an order in which we're going to go, and so I'll paint the picture for the next couple minutes. After Chair Pryor, it's me. I'm going to step up, and then it's Representative Bennett that will follow me. So without further ado.
All right. Thank you, Vice Chair Hill. For the record, my name is Lori Pryor. I am the chair of the committee. Thank you all for having me. Thank you for joining us today. So I represent my house district is 49A. That's our new number. I'm pretty good at saying 49. I think I've got it down. And fortunately, I'm still the A side, which I appreciate. That makes it a little bit easier. And the cities that I represent is the southern part of Minnetonka and the northern part of Eden Prairie. And there's three school districts. The Minnetonka School District, the Eden Prairie School District, but also the Hopkins District. And it's actually the Hopkins District that I live in and that my kids graduated from. So I go back to that I've been thinking about, and this is pertinent to Representative Bueller. So I grew up in Austin, and I started there in Austin in the fourth grade. And I was in, it was the old building, which was built in 1910. Mm-hmm. And it was, they've torn it down, Sumner School. It was so old that they had a cloakroom and wooden floors. So it's probably, right now, it'd be one of the nicest buildings in Austin, except it got so old that they had to tear it down. And I came, the school that I'd gone to before was, you know, back then was much newer, and everything was linoleum and things like that. It felt really weird to step back in time and be in this really old building. And now I really miss it, you know, those memories of what it was like to walk the halls. But since then, I've been back to Sumner and just really impressed by all the changes from my day back there. And I think they're changes for good, but it's lots of challenges that have to go to it. So so a little bit about myself. Thank you, Vice Chair, and now I'll resume that.
Thank you, Chair Pryor.
How we're going to drag out this meeting.
All right. Vice Chair Hill, will you please introduce yourself to the committee and proceed with your testimony?
Absolutely. Thank you, Chair Pryor. Josiah Hill, I represent District 33B, which is Far East Metro, right along the St. Croix River. I represent the communities of Bayport, Oak Park Heights, Stillwater Township, May Township, Marine, Scandia, and a portion of Forest Lake. The school districts that fall into this legislative district are Stillwater Public Schools and Forest Lake Schools. And it's been an honor to get to know their leadership and their priorities as we approach the session here. I am a teacher. I teach high school English in my other life, and I can't. It's very difficult for me to choose just one experience that was impactful for me. Where I landed is both the teachers that taught me and the opportunity that I have had to teach alongside many of them as I now teach at my alma mater. Many of them are entering retirement, but there's still a few of those who taught me that I get a chance to operate with. More importantly, though, it's the now thousands of students I've served over the last 24 years that have been most impactful for me. And looking forward to the work of this session and keeping their faces and their stories in mind as we look ahead. So thank you. Looking forward to the opportunity.
Thank you, Vice Chair Hill.
We get lots of steps in coming back and forth here.
Representative Bennett, please introduce yourself to the committee.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and good to see all of you. It's good to be back, and especially with our education committee people. So I brought myself a little note so I'd remember to catch all the things you wanted me to talk about. But I'm Peggy Bennett, represent 23A as my new district. I have too many cities to mention, but I will say Albert Lea is in southern Minnesota, is the biggest of the largest city, and I'm a little bit east of Albert Lea is the line, and then west almost to Blue Earth, and then north going up almost to Waseca. You can kind of draw some lines that way, and of course the Iowa border is the stopping point southwise. So it's a pleasure to represent the rural communities and townships that I do. I am a former teacher of 33 years, taught elementary school, all but one of the years in Albert Lea, and loved it. And I have a special ed certification. I actually started out teaching special ed, early childhood certification, and mostly taught first grade. It was my favorite. And I will share one quick story from that. But I will share the school districts that I represent. Got the Albert Lea Area Schools, Glenville Emmons, Alden Conger, Wells, which is also called USC, and then New Richland, Heartland, Ellendale, Geneva is a school district. I also have three private schools in my district, St. Theodore's Elementary School, St. Casimir's in Wells, and Hollandale Christian School. So lots of variety in the area and a lot of school districts, lots of kids. I loved teaching, but I will tell you, when I was in school, in elementary school, I hated school. I didn't like it. I remember my mom telling me that my teacher, when she would have conferences, said my head was always out the window somewhere. there. And that was me. I just had a good imagination, loved to read, but did not like school. And I didn't really like it until high school. So one of my goals as a teacher has been always, and I retired in 2015, but it was to help kids love to learn. And that's one of the important things, is to hook kids into learning, because I didn't do well until somebody hooked me into loving to learn. As a matter of fact, in middle school, one of the teachers told my mom that I would always kind of struggle and never do really well, and that wasn't true at all. So that's been one of my goals. And I'll just share a quick story from my classroom. I have so many of them. But I taught a transition room between kindergarten and first grade for 7 years. It was half special ed, half regular ed. And for about a 20-minute period, I had just different activities they could do, including Legos and Tinker Toys and a lot of social, emotional type things, learning and building. And two of my special ed guys, I'm just going to call them Rick and Tommy, they loved these little Lincoln Log. There's a blue guy and a red guy, little action figures. And they always both wanted the blue one. I don't know why, but they liked blue. And they would argue and almost get into fist fights over this little character. So I called them up to my desk and I said, there's a lot of strategies to figuring out who can play with what and how to take turns. You can do rock, paper, scissors. You can talk it out. You can say, today it's your turn, tomorrow it's my turn. You can flip a coin. Well, they all decided they wanted to flip a coin. So I kept a quarter in my desk, and they'd come up every time, put the blue guy there, and, you know, we'd flip the coin, and they'd be happy. Well, one day they came up, and Johnny, one of them, puts the blue guy down, and little Tommy, the other one, puts the red guy down and says, we need to flip the coin. Well, they each wanted a different one, but they still wanted to flip the coin because they didn't quite get the idea. So that was one of my many fun stories from being a teacher. I loved it, and I love being on the education committee as a result. So thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative Bennett. Now we'll go on alphabetical order, and it is Representative, is it Bakeberg?
Bakeberg.
I also brought my notes, so I can get everything.
All right, Representative Bakeberg, please introduce yourself to the committee.
Well, thank you for the opportunity, Madam Chair, to introduce myself to the committee. My name is Ben Bakeberg, and I have the privilege to serve District 54B. Those are the communities of Prior Lake, Jordan, part of Shakopee, and then there's surrounding townships that I have the opportunity to serve. So those are the towns. The school districts that I serve are Prior Lake Savage Schools, Jordan Schools, and then Shakopee Schools. And then there are multiple private schools in there as well, and also a number of homeschool co-ops that are in our area. I'm going to talk about a favorite memory professionally for me. So I'm a middle school principal. I was a teacher and then have been an administrator for the last, I think, 16 years. Maybe that's why my hair is getting gray. But there's a young man who really struggled behaviorally. And every year, our sixth graders, we take up to an environmental learning center called Wolf Ridge. And I was assigned to this young man because he struggled behaviorally. So he and I, we were out cross-country skiing. And he wasn't in the best shape. And I could be in better shape as well. So he and I are out going around, and the bell was ringing. So we had to get back. And there was this big hill we had to go up. And there was no way in the world he was getting up that hill. And so I was pushing him up the hill. And he was yelling at me. I can't repeat what he was saying to me. And I was encouraging him up the hill. We got to the top of the hill. And I was like, you did it. You did it. You did it. And I went to give him a high five. And he looked at me just growling and said, no. And I was like, oh, boy, what's going to happen? He goes, give me a hug. And he gave me a huge hug. And he's not a kid who school is easy for. And part of the reason I went into education is because I had men and women come alongside of me and challenge me and call out the best in me to help me and push me even when I didn't want to be pushed. So I was able to do that for that young man because I had people come alongside of me and push me to be able to do that. One of them is my mom. And one of them is a man named Perry Tennyson. He's the activities director at Dasco-Cato High School right now. So I think it's important, and I got into politics because the policies that we make, the decisions that we make, they impact kids and families on a significant level. So Ben Bakeberg, 54B. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative Bakeberg. Next alphabetically is Representative Berg.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And this is my second term and second chance to be on this committee, so I recognize a few of you. Kayla Berg, 55B is the new district I serve, which is a portion of the city of Burnsville. And I have two school districts, 191 and like one random school for 196. And so it's a pleasure to have that responsibility as well. Most of us on the other side of the table there when, you know, Representative Bennett, when you were like, I did not like school till I got to high school. I did not do well in school. We're like, yep, same. Both my parents are college professors, and so I kind of thought, okay, well, this is what we do. And so when I went to college, I thought I would get an education degree and become a teacher. So I went to a high school just for a visit, like you do when you're in that program. And I was like, nope, this is not for me. So everybody, you're welcome that I did not become a teacher. But much like you, Representative Bennett, I would rather read than do anything. And my parents used to have to force me to go outside because, you know, you have to be well-rounded. You can't just sit inside and read. So then I would take a book and sit in a tree and read. And that was my way to combine the two. But I think a lot of us run for office because of personal experience. And I'm allowed to share this, but my youngest son really struggled through his entire educational experience. He was the type of kid that was quiet, well-behaved, but was completely lost in his head and completely lost in the education system because of it. And so he just passed from grade to grade to grade with a brilliant, beautiful mind, but it did not translate to his grades or to his teacher's expectations or to what our education system asks for. And so it wasn't until one day I was absolutely fed up with going every route that I can think of, almost a second full-time job trying to advocate for him. And I walked into our alternative school in Burnsville and I said, I'm not leaving until I talk to the dean. And I'm just going to stand here and you're going to be uncomfortable. And I want to recognize the privilege that I had being available in the middle of the week at, you know, in the middle of the afternoon, an extreme privilege to be able to advocate for my child that way. And so I talked to the dean. I got my son in the program. Being in a classroom of 12 to 15 kids versus 40 kids made a tremendous difference. And so I'm here sitting on this committee advocating for those children, advocating for my son. And I hope that you will support some of the bills I'll bring forward to do that. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Berg. Next up is Representative Feist.
I was looking around, I was like,
this is a little replay of yesterday where you have to know when your name is up next.
Hi, everyone. I am Representative Feist. My district is 39B, which is the southern part of New Brighton, Columbia Heights, and St. Anthony. The school districts I represent are the Columbia Heights School District, the St. Anthony New Brighton School District, and the Mounds View School District. And my kids are in fifth and seventh grade in the Mounds View School District. And I was trying to think, oh, and this is my second term on this committee, but this is my first time in person with this committee. So that's exciting. Only my third ever in-person committee hearing. So I thought about some experiences and tried to take a unifying takeaway from them. And some stories I thought of were I had to go outdoors for a science class, and we were supposed to write everything we observed in nature. And instead, I wrote an entire zombie apocalypse story. And my science teacher was like, and told my parents that I was strange. a little bit deranged. And then one of my favorite teachers that I remember was a history teacher who made us sing songs from history and compete with one another. So we learned all the words to Brother, Can You Spare a Dime when we were studying the Great Depression. We had to sing When I'm 64 by the Beatles for some reason. But I remember that just really inspired me about history and just excited me in its unconventional way of bringing us into the moment. And then lastly, I just was thinking about how my mom would tell me that my teachers were, they were annoyed because I always drew in class. So like no matter what notes I was taking, I was always drawing elaborate pictures. And she was a teacher, and she told them that that's how some people learn. And that's how some people process information, is they need to like be drawing also. So she told them what's what. And I think my grand takeaway from all of those random stories is just that, you know, we have students learn in all different ways. And I'm excited to be here as a mom and as somebody who ran for office specifically to address the opportunity gap to just support all students in Minnesota. I'm super excited about this committee and to be serving with all of you. Thanks.
Thank you, Representative Feist. Representative Frazier.
Thank you, Madam Chair, Vice Chair, and lead committee members. I am Representative Cedric Frazier, District 43A, which is the cities of Crystal and New Hope. Used to have a little bit on the eastern part of Plymouth, but lost that in redistricting, but very happy with what I gained in the southern part of Crystal. This is my second term. This will be my second term on the committee. So good to see you all who were part of the committee before. Good to see you all in person here. Very happy about that, and Happy New Year to everyone. I think about what it meant or what it was like for me as a coming through K-12 and then also through college as well. I was also someone who wasn't really much into school. I didn't like waking up early and going to school every day. But that changed when I was in high school. It really changed in high school. But I think the motivating factor that I had to get through my K-8 experience was that it was my mother. She was my biggest supporter. She was also my biggest challenger in pushing me to ensure that I stayed focused on education. And I think a large part of that was because, for her, she had to drop out of school. She was pregnant with me at a young age. She had to drop out of school, and she later went on to get her GED. And I think that always colored the way she saw education. I think she felt limited in many ways. She was not at all, but I think she felt limited, and she wanted to ensure that her child was going to go on, get his education, and have every opportunity possible. And that's the way I look at education. It is something that I still believe provides tremendous opportunity for those that, regardless of what your circumstances are that you're born into, it is a key and a tool to facilitate you out of those circumstances or to elevate what it is that you have opportunities for in your life. So every policy, every law that I push forward, that I talk about, it is with that in mind. How do we ensure that our kids can get and reach their full potential with what we do here? And I agree, it impacts everyone tremendously. So I appreciate what you said, and we have to make sure we keep that in mind when we're passing laws and pushing forward policy here. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Frazier. And next up is Representative Keeler.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My name is Heather Keeler, representing District 4A. I get to keep all the stationery because mine didn't change. Right? Like, I feel like that's a win in this world. But I serve Moorhead, so I partner right up against Fargo, which is really interesting in the education system because we lose a lot of our teachers and substitutes because North Dakota just treats them better and makes them work less. So it's a different world out there for me. I my school district that I serve is Moorhead Area Public Schools. That's the only community that I serve. And so for me, education has been a struggle. As an Indigenous person, I have 4 degrees, and I've never seen a person at the front of the classroom who looks like me. And subliminally, that always told me that I don't belong in these spaces. Not only that, curriculum wasn't designed around me, and the conversations and the things that we talk about. And so I go back all the way to third grade and having an experience that before we went on a holiday that I recognize as the day of mourning, we were forced to color a picture that was extremely disturbing to me and my culture, and I advocated for that. And I think it's important that we allow our kids the space to advocate for things that matter to them. And it got to the point that it was elevated to the superintendent. I was going to get kicked out of school. And the truth is like, I just didn't feel comfortable coloring a really horrific picture about my culture and the people that we are. And so that was just the first of many experiences. Education was horrible for me to the point that I actually attempted suicide twice in high school. And so I'm here. I worked as 12 years as an Indian education liaison. I worked as a substitute coordinator. I worked in our IEP office, scheduling all of the meetings and knowing and understanding the paperwork around our IEPs. But I just never want another kid in Minnesota to feel like I did in our education systems. And so I show up in this space. I don't like politics. That's not why I got here. I just want to make a difference for the next generation. Educationally, my family, we've just always gotten a little bit better. I remember when I graduated with my master's degree, I did my practicum in the community and asking, what are the barriers to academic success outside of academic rigor? So I wasn't asking, like, is math hard for you? It was like, what are the issue areas in the top three that rose to the top were representation, housing, and access to food. And so if we know if our kids aren't housed and they don't have food in their stomach, they can't be the best students that they need to be. And so just trying to look holistically at our students to make sure that we're mindful of who they are and their unique needs that they have. And so in this space, I come with that lens of life. I come with being a Greater Minnesota member and understanding what that brings to the table with our substitutes particularly. But I just want to make this world a better place. And so I will challenge us to think outside of the norm, because I do think that we need to look differently and make sure that we have in mind the students who maybe don't have that representation in the space and what that actually means for us. Because when I hear a lot of people talk about their most wonderful story, oftentimes they are mirroring or looking at somebody who looked like them. And that's why that experience was so great. So as a liaison, I had the opportunity to do that. And it's amazing that now my kids that I worked, I call them my kids. I think we all who work in education, like, right, have like thousands of my kids. But it's been really interesting that as I've advocated through tears and have tried to find the courage to be in this space, it's my Indian education students who have actually reached out and have thanked me the most. And so this work is very humbling for me. And so I just hope that we take the challenge to really be courageous in the work that we do. Pilame.
Thank you, Representative Keeler. Representative Knudsen.
Hello. Good morning. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Or afternoon, I guess it is already.
What a quick first day. I am Krista Knudsen. I am represent District 5A, which is up northern Minnesota. It's the very rural area between Brainerd and Detroit Lakes. Our biggest city is Park Rapids, which is has a population of about 4,500 people, so very rural. The districts, the school districts that I that are represented in my district are so many that I can't name them all. But some of the bigger ones are Detroit Lakes, Frazee, Park Rapids, Brainerd, the Brainerd School District, Pequot Lakes, Nevis, LaPorte, Monaga, Sabika, Staples, Motley, and I could go on. There's quite a few. I do not have any experience in teaching, in education, in education at all. I'm a mother of 4 kids that go to public school. I have seen a lot of changes. I have twins that are in 5th grade, and I have a 3rd grader, and I have a pre-K right now. I was a very active parent volunteer before COVID, and then that completely stopped. And we weren't allowed back in, and that was concerning to me. I loved being a part of my kids' education. I loved knowing what they were doing. I loved having that first hands-on experience. I was there every week. And some days I was correcting papers, some days I was doing activities, some days I was just sitting in the hall reading with a child. But I missed that. So I went and got my substitute teaching license and I got back in. And there was such a need at that time because teachers were having to be off because of COVID protocol and that kind of stuff. So filling in those gaps, and that was a fantastic experience for me. One of the experiences I had growing up that I will never forget was my fifth grade math teacher, Mrs. Banwart. I hated math. I did not like math at all. And then we got to fifth grade, and she every day would give us four homework assignments, four problems to solve. And she said, they don't have to be right. You don't have to, we don't have to turn them in. You don't get a grade on this. You just have to do your best. And I was shocked. Just do my best. That's all I have to do. And nobody's going to make fun of me if I get them wrong. Nobody's going to treat me as if I'm stupid if I get them wrong. And that changed the way I felt about myself. It changed the way I did my homework. I actually wanted to do it. And it actually, I love math now. I was in math league. I lettered in math league in high school. Like, it was the beginning of a whole new world for me, just because of her. Just four assignments or four questions and just do your best. So anyway, I could go on about her for a long time, I think, but she really was a great teacher. Yeah, I'm just excited to be here. I'm very excited to have to provide a parent perspective, just like you. Yeah, so thank you for this opportunity. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative Knutson. I know that Representative Liz Lee is also on our committee, but she had another. Oh, she is there. Good. Thank you. Representative Lee, I hope you've caught on to what we're doing. But if you would introduce yourself to the committee, and we are looking for the area that you represent, the school district you represent, and a memory of you as a student in education that's been impactful that you might share with us.
Great. Thank you, Madam Chair. Hello, everyone. Good afternoon. My name is Liz Lee, and I represent St. Paul's 67A on the east side. And so that means I represent a lot of elementary schools, and it's just the St. Paul Public School District. One unique thing about me, I am a very proud alum of the St. Paul Public School District. I attended from kindergarten all the way through 12th grade, and so I'd like to say I am a proud product of the public schools, and also very intimately understand how important it is for the Title I schools to get the support they need. I no longer have high schools in my district, sadly, because of redistricting, but we have a lot of elementary schools that have students who are in high needs, so I really appreciated Representative Keeler for talking about some of the unique needs that our students have. And I know schools can't do everything, right? But for a lot of students, that is where we catch, you know, when students are need more food at home, or, you know, when they need medical care. And so that's one of the areas that I'd like to focus on, which is also why I'm a co-sponsor of Rep Vang's bill for community schools. You know, public schools is a way to catch a lot of things that other students might not, you know, have at home, right? And I think, similar to other folks, third grade is a very pivotal time for a lot of students. That's when I got my glasses. And so I owe my third grade teacher for helping me build the confidence in wearing my glasses to school every day. She thought it was because I was embarrassed, but partially because I just couldn't remember to keep them on. But I also want to note that she was very, very unique, because I had a classmate who would fall asleep in class every day. And she was, you know, well-trained and caught that and said, hey, like, there's something going on at home. You know, we have to stop this. And so I also want to make sure that, you know, we support our teachers and train them in also a culturally competent way. Because similar to other folks, and I really want to thank Rep. Keeler for sharing her story. I also had not a really great experience in kindergarten, which I won't go into detail to today, but also I think it's really important that, you know, because public schools is a way to support our students in more ways than just, you know, teaching them reading and math, we also have to make sure that our teachers and our administrators support our students holistically. So thank you.
Thank you, Representative Lee. And next up, Representative Mueller.
this is kind of weird. Very good. So I'm Dr. Patricia Mueller, and just actually completed my doctorate in education. Thank you for being there. I looked on the audience, and there she was, because I graduated from Moorhead. So it was very excited to see a friendly face in the audience. I represent 23B, which is the new district down in Austin, Minnesota. I also include the surrounding areas out in Hayward, out in Freeborn County, Blooming Prairie, which is in Steele County. I also have some other smaller areas all the way down to the Iowa border, Lyle, Grand Meadow, and some other places. We were very famous last spring because an F2 tornado tore apart Teope, and that was in my district. And over half of the town of Teope was destroyed in the F2 tornado. So that's where I'm from. I have been a teacher for almost 20 years and have now completed not only my master's, but my doctorate in education. And most of my study has to do with literacy and how to integrate literacy into secondary education so that our students are able to not only read by the time of third grade, but they're also able to read disciplinary literacy because we have to be able to continue our literacy training for not only our teachers, but for our students as they are in their high school and middle school and high school careers. I taught all over the place, but the majority, I was an English teacher as well, Representative Hill, and I taught as young as seventh grade, and then when I was a missionary in China, I taught English there to college students, and so kind of have a gamut of there. You know, I was a student that worked really hard in school, because learning didn't come easy to me, but I loved school because of structure. I was the linear thinker. But then learning about how different people learn and how different students learn, because I didn't do well in math, because I have undiagnosed dyscalculia, I knew how important it was for me to teach in a way for everyone to be able to understand. And when I read about Gardner's multiple intelligences, it changed the way that I taught my students. And so notes now weren't just linear, but they were also in pictures. You could talk about our characters not only in a paragraph, but through their iPod playlist. And so how could we capture all of our different students? And truthfully, one of my favorite experiences as a teacher was when I challenged my students to, instead of doing a pro-con or essay or a cause and effect essay, my students got into groups and did an awareness documentary, and they actually created, wrote, interviewed, produced, filmed a 5-minute documentary about an issue they wanted to bring awareness to. And it was one of the most incredible experiences to watch my students go out in the community and be active participants in shaping how people saw things. And that was just really exciting for me. But, you know, part of the reason why I became a teacher is because I had a teacher in seventh grade math who decided that it was her job to tell people who didn't know how to do math that they were stupid. And that was really difficult for me because I was the gold star student who was motivated by gold stars. And so when you were the person that was put up on the overhead projector, yes, I'm that old that I had overhead projectors, that literally it was showing my name with the word stupid next to it. And so that motivated me to make sure that I was able to show my students that intelligence comes in many different forms and places. And so this is my second term, and I am so proud to be representing my school districts of Grand Meadow, of Austin, of Lyle, and now out in Glenville, in Blooming Prairie, which was my very first teaching job. So going and door knocking there 20 years later was hilarious, as all of my seventh graders are now 30 years old and have children of their own. And so it was fantastic. I have such a passion for education, and really enjoy seeing returning faces as well. And I'm looking forward to doing good work, Madam Chair. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Representative Mueller. All right, we jump in the alphabet to Representative Erdahl.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. Good to be here today. Learn about so many new people and catching up on some of the others. I'm starting my 11th term here, and that's for those not good in math. That's 22 years. The school districts, I'm a native of Litchfield. The school districts I represent are Litchfield, Atwater Cosmos Grove City, Eden Valley Watkins, Bird Island, Olivia, Lake Lillian District, Buffalo Lake Hector, Renville, Danube, Sacred Heart. So a lot of small combined communities. My district now is 16A. Which is the western half of Meeker County, where I live, including the city of Litchfield, the southeastern corner of Candiohi County, all of Wright County, and all of Chippewa County. So a district that I used to have that bordered the metro area, now I can see South Dakota from the end. So a lot more driving for me. I was a teacher for 35 years at New London Spicer. Glad Representative Marquardt isn't in the room because of the state championship football game that didn't turn out so well for him. but I spent my entire teaching career in New London Spicer. I write books. I have nine published books dealing mostly with historical fiction. One of my books is becoming a movie, which will be out in mid-May. Have maybe a little premiere down here. We'll see how that works out. I am very, I have, through my education career, and I count my many years on education committees in the House in that category, I've worked to sponsor legislation to attract and retain our teachers. And I will continue to do that through, you know, mentorship programs and master degree programs that I've worked on for that. Well, I think it's very important. One area, and for you newer members, probably the most important bill you'll vote on this year is my civics legislation. Which I've been working on for 6 years, and I think we're finally there. My school experiences, why does a lot of them bring up memories of the principal's office? Now, I wasn't malicious. I wasn't a bad kid, but I like to have a little fun. And my teachers didn't always understand that. I remember I was up for National Honor Society, and the teachers had forms they filled out on each of the ones who were nominated for that. And I just happened by my history teacher's desk when he had a stack of National Honor Society nomination forms. And lo and behold, mine was on top. And I looked at it, and I remember it, various categories. One was character. And he had written, "Yes, he is." So what the heck? As the principal looks at me, I have a lot of educators in my family. My son is a teacher. I have a very unique first cousin who is in his 60th year in the classroom as a full-time teacher. Taught 10 years at Granite Falls, 50 years in Buffalo. I think he needs to be recognized at some point for, I don't know of anyone who has taught 60 full-time years. Now, he teaches higher-level math. If he had taught seventh grade like I did, he never would have made it. But I look forward to working with you to do good things for education, for the people of Minnesota and the students that certainly deserve the attention and the service that I think we're prepared to give them. So thank you.
Thank you, Representative Erdahl. Representative Joachim knows her alphabet.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This is a great idea. Thank you for doing it. I'll try not to steal it from you, but it's tempting. Joachim used to the end. I actually, my maiden name was Funk, so I was in the front of the alphabet, but you can see why I did not hyphenate. I represent Hopkins, sections of St. Louis Park and Edina now, with the redistricting 46B, and all three of them have different school districts, so Hopkins, St. Louis Park, Edina school districts. I've been in the legislature for 8 years, excited to be back in ed policy, and we'll see some of you guys in ed finance as well. Let's see here. During the interim, I usually work as a paraprofessional with kiddos with special needs, mostly sixth grade and under, but I've worked in early childhood all the way up to the high school. I kind of joke my first time working was in the high school as a hallway, study hall, lunchroom, so I kind of got the governor beat on that one. And then I'm also married to a longtime teacher who's almost hitting his 30 years teaching. Our middle son is in his third year teaching and is fourth generation on both sides of the family. I have four sister-in-laws who are teachers, and then our youngest is dating a teacher. So we have a lot of teachers in the family. I'm just trying to think about memories because there's so many. And then I got the benefit of going last so I could see how you kind of all wove themes in. So here goes nothing. One of my first memories of school was first grade. I had this teacher who used to play guitar to us, and she was absolutely incredible and really created a welcoming environment. And then in junior high, I started an alternative newspaper because I got censored by the principal, so that was fun. And then in high school, I took my first enriched English class that really opened my eyes to how you can learn in a holistic way and how all themes run together. Looking back at school, I went, college, just finished my master's a few years ago because, it takes me a long time to do things sometimes. I feel very lucky and understand that I had a privilege that a lot of our kiddos don't have to make sure, to have that welcoming environment that I want to make sure all of our students have. And to make sure that they understand that school is a place not only to learn and be welcomed, but a place to practice life, practice making those decisions, practice learning, practice making mistakes and correcting them and figuring out what they want to do after school. And that pathway doesn't look the same for all of our kids. And those of you in the room who are teachers, I so much admire you for what you can do to reach kids wherever they're at, because I think that's a skill a lot of our teachers have, and we need to understand and respect that, because like you've all said, kids all learn in different ways, and meeting students where they're at is a key for us to have them be successful in life. And my husband keeps bothering me, saying, why don't you be, we need substitute teachers. You should be a substitute teacher. You get a little bit better pay. And I always look at him and I say, I'm pretty good at classroom management, managing kids and hanging out with them. I don't think I could impart wisdom to. Only in little bits and chunks. Like, you guys do the teaching. I'll just kind of fill in the blanks. That's a better place for me. I went to school for journalism, but ended up being a better editor because of that too. So really excited to be looking forward to working with all of you and in both ed policy and then some of you that are floating into ed finance, because it's one and the same, and Chair Pryor and I will be working very closely together to make sure that not only do we have great ideas in here, but that we get the funding to go with them. And thanks.
Thank you, Representative Joachim. Next, we're going to turn to our staff. And we're not going to make you both sit on the hot seat. You can stay where you are. And I'd like to start with our nonpartisan staff. And just also by way of introduction, for new members, for returning members, you know how important our nonpartisan staff is to the functioning of the committee. And when we say nonpartisan, they are here for all of us, and they do great work, and they've always been there, and I'm just amazed at how much you contribute each meeting and everything outside of the meetings, too. So if we could start with Mr. Strom, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm Tim Strom. This is my 40th regular session with the legislature, so it's getting to be a habit. I split the education area with Ms. Para, and so I'll be backing her up in this committee as necessary, but it's hardly called for. And then in Ed Finance, the two of us are a team there. So we're looking forward to a great year with you all. It's an absolute pleasure for me to be able to serve the legislature, and every year I learn new and interesting things from all of you, and it's just the most exciting, wonderful job there is. So thank you. I do have a very quick school story, and you'll only think that I'm saying this to cotton up to the chair, but that's not true. We had a school building similar to yours that was the fifth and sixth grade building, but our wood floors were not so well taken care of, and so they buckled in a few places, and in the science room, those old wood floors can actually turn into a bit of an oval or a shape. And the science teacher turned that into the moon because it was big enough. It looked like the top third of the moon, and that was during the time of the first moon landing. Mm-hmm. And so every day in science class, there was something new going on with that piece of wood floor that was shaped like the moon.
Yeah.
So, I have fond memories of the old wood floors.
Yeah. I mean, it seems like the old buildings, I mean, you feel all the footsteps of all the kids and all the teachers that came before you. Yeah. All right. Thank you, Mr. Strom. Ms. Para.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members. I'm Christina Para. I work with Mr. Strom in House Research. This is my seventh session at the House covering education policy, and it's been a real treat to be here. And I don't have a story, but I really appreciated hearing the stories of all the members today.
Thank you. Next, we'll turn to our support for our committee here, and I'm going to call on, first of all, GOP Research, Mr. Withers.
Hello, my name is Jody Withers. I work for the House Republican Caucus. I've been with the caucus since 2011, working primarily in the education area, and I also work the Children and Families Committee as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Withers. Our DFL Research, Mr. Beltrandi Rundquist.
Maris Beltran, Dear Redquist. I work for the House DFL with the Education Finance and Education Policy Committees. I have been in this role for 6 years now with these committees, and up until this year, I was also with Children and Families. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, and then particularly for new members, you talk about that if you want to hear Bill heard, you talk to the committee administrator. So I'm going to turn to next, Mr. Lee.
Hi, everyone. My name is Wilson Lee. I'm the committee administrator for education policy. This is my first year serving, and I was formerly the committee legislative assistant for education finance. So I am familiar with a couple of faces here.
Thank you, Mr. Lee. And then over on this side, and again, you know, we talk about, as we get into these in-person meetings, if you want my attention, if you want to speak, either one of these two people, if they catch your eye, then they'll make a note, and I can call on you and recognize you. So it's easy to pick out. and so next I'd like to introduce Ms. Anderson.
So my name's Isabel, and I'm the committee legislative assistant. I'm actually, ironically, a Hopkins Royal. So I guess my favorite memories of education are the amazing teachers I had and kind of really shaped my love of learning. So I know there are a lot of educators on this committee, so thank you for what you do, and your work really is appreciated.
All right. And then finally, another important person in this process is our committee page. And we're not sure if she's going to be able to continue on with us, but she's here this morning and she, or this afternoon, I'm caught too. So I'd like to also introduce and recognize it's Ms. Soar. Right. Now, if you look around the room, some people will seem familiar and you'll see them here all the time. And you will get to, they will introduce themselves to you. They will not have a problem doing that. But I think in the future there probably will be some more people when we're actually hearing bills and things like that. But we'll say hello to the audience that's in the room, people that are viewing online. We're all part of the process. So that is our introductions today, and just to close out, you have in your packets a copy of the committee rules, which you know is still open to amendment. We might make some changes, but I do want to call attention to number three, and this is new, that in the past when we've done in-person committees, before we did the remote work, if people wanted to testify, they actually had to be here in the room to testify. But in this conference room, we do have the capacity to hear remote testifying. And I think we should be set up and able to do it in the future. When we hear a bill, if you have someone that's coming from from Moorhead, and they would not be able to get to our meeting to testify, with a notice, we can set them up and we can hear remote testimony from folks. So they would be on the screens there and they would be part of the meeting, just as if they were here. And I recognize Representative Keeler, you have a question or comment?
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. This is something that I just want to recognize and call appreciation to. You know, we as Greater Minnesota, we know and we also know that we're in a teaching crisis. And as we talk about our education systems, we don't have the substitutes. So for me, it's 8 hours round trip, you know, to get a teacher here to testify or substitute for 5 minutes. And so I want to publicly say in this space, I really appreciate that we've taken some of the tools that we had to implement over COVID and are turning them into a way, because we only do what's best for Minnesota when all of Minnesota can come to the table. So I just wanted to recognize that and appreciate you for adding that to this. Thank you.
Yep. And appreciate the comment. And it is something, we're not here by chance. In this particular conference room, because I think there's the understanding of when they assigned different committees to different conference rooms, they knew how important it was to be able to be including people from the public in these deliberations and to have their voices be heard. And I believe also our Ed Finance Committee is also in this conference room. So we will get to know this space and enjoy it.
And get our steps in.
All right. Any other comments or questions at this point in the meeting? And I think that's where I get to say, all right. All right, well, this meeting is adjourned.